بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والا وبعد. We pick up from where we left off in the last sitting when we discussed that which was related to the Prophet ﷺ and his da'wah towards the end of the Meccan period after the death of his uncle Abu Talib and after the death of Khadija radiallahu anha. We mentioned the fact that the tribes among the Arab, the Prophet ﷺ began to give da'wah, even though after that period, the one who used to protect the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, after he passed away, the difficulty increased and the persecution of Quraysh increased upon him. One of the things then that Allah Azza wa Jal consoled his messenger with was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and granted him that which will establish for him the fact that he was upon the haqq and that he was upon the way of the prophets and the messengers, not that the messenger ever had doubt concerning that, and was something of solace for the Messenger of Allah ﷺ due to the difficulties that he was facing, the various hardships. He lost his beloved wife Khadija, he lost his uncle, the persecution of Quraysh increased, it was a difficult time. And as we mentioned previously, the narration that the Prophet ﷺ, he took to remaining indoors for that period because of the fact that it was difficult upon the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. It didn't cause him though to stop giving da'wah and to stop calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. As we mentioned, that he used to go out to the marketplaces, Uqaz, and other than that, from the markets around the region of Makkah, and call to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he would say, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. O people, say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. And so the scholars then discuss a mas'ala, an affair that occurred. In actuality, in terms of the scholars of Sirah and Tariq, then there is great difference of opinion concerning exactly when it took place. And that is the occurrence of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. The haditha of Al-Isra Al-Mi'raj. As far as Al-Isra al-Mi'raj is concerned, then the Isra and the Mi'raj, the scholars differ on more, as Hafidh ibn Hajar mentions, more than some 10 different positions concerning exactly when it took place. Some hold that it was the 10th year, some hold it was the 11th. Many hold that it was the 12th year, and that is one of the strongest of the positions concerning exactly when it took place. That it took place in the 12th year after Hijrah, in the month of Rabi in Al-Awwal, on the 17th night of Rabi Al-Awwal. Though, after Bi'tha, after the Bi'tha, na'am. After the Bi'tha, that is the 12th year after the Bi'tha, the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a messenger. So it is before the Hijrah categorically, but the difference is exactly when. And thus, as we mentioned and we reiterate, ikhwan, you may find in some of the books of Sirah, that some of the affairs that we have mentioned, that they mentioned the Isra and Mi'raj before some of the issues that we have mentioned. Some will go as far as to hold and as to mention that it was before Ta'if, though the majority of Ahlul Ilm hold that it was categorically after the affair of the Prophet ﷺ traveling to Ta'if to give da'wah. Similarly, there are narrations that indicate the Prophet ﷺ, he embarked upon the Isra and the Mi'raj a year before the Hijrah. And so those who make mention of the fact that it was before the, or after, the affair of the Bay'atul Aqaba, Al-Ula and Thaniya, again in terms of those narrations that indicate that it was a year before the Hijrah, then what that would necessitate is that the Bay'atul Aqaba, because the Prophet ﷺ, when He gave da'wah to the tribes from among the tribes of Medina. There was the period of approximately a year or slightly more than a year between the da'wah, the first bay'ah, and the second bay'ah, and then the migration. And so what is the case if one were to gather those narrations? Yani then there is something of a surah and a picture that begins to develop in terms of when these occurrences took place. But it is relatively safe to say that it was after Ta'if and before the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. And as we mentioned, the stronger of the statements is that it was in the 12th year after Hijrah, after Bi'tha. As far as the Isra and the Mi'raj is concerned, then the title itself and the name that is used by the scholars, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, are a reference to two, though they occur at the same time, they are a reference to two separate affairs, that we shouldn't confuse the two affairs. Al-Isra is one issue, one thing, the Mi'raj is another thing. The Isra is a reference to the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, while the Mi'raj, which is from Al-Uruj, is a reference to the ascension from Jerusalem into the heavens. So the Isra is a reference to the night journey itself. The Mi'raj is a reference to the ascension from Jerusalem to the heavens, and that which took place during the night. As far as the affair is concerned, then, we have two references to it in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Of course, the first of them, that which occurs in Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, glorified be He who is free of imperfections, who took His slave from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Took his slave from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, which is in Jerusalem, the like of which we have placed barakah around it, around its vicinity. لِنُورِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, that we may show him from our ayat, that we may show him from our signs. And the affair of Allah Azza wa Jal showing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from his signs, oftentimes, ikhwan, when we read the riwayat or we read the narrations of the Isra and the Mi'raj, one of the things that is not done or is rarely done is that we rarely find those who write about the Isra and the Mi'raj gather the riwayat. Because there are various narrations that speak of the affair. Those narrations, some of them are narrated in a manner that is mukhtasir, and some of them are narrated in a manner that is mutawwal. Yani some of them are summarized, a part of the qissa, a part of the story. Some of them are lengthy in terms of the manner in which they narrate the story from beginning to end. But even the lengthier narrations don't encompass and gather all of that which has been narrated concerning that. And that is because of the fact that there are numerous companions who narrated the Isra and the Mi'raj. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, he mentions that the riwayat and the narrations concerning that are mutawatira. Yani that they are far too numerous for us to contemplate that there was possibly a lie that may have crept into the narration of the story. And from the companions who have narrated the qissa and the story, we have Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abi Dharr, Malik ibn Sa'sa'a, we have Abu Huraira, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Shaddad ibn Aus, Ka'b ibn Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abdurrahman ibn Thurt, likewise. We have the likes of Abi Layla al-Ansari and others, Jab ibn Abdullah Hudhayfa, Buraida, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, numerous companions from among the companions. When the list goes on, numerous companions who narrated the story of the Isra and the Mi'raj. There is no doubt it is categorical that the story occurred and that it is mutawatir in terms of the narration and the ahadith in that regard. And for those of you who are not acquainted with the ahadith al-mutawatira, they are those ahadith which are so numerous in terms of the narrators that have conveyed the narration or the type of narrator and the quality of narrator that conveyed that narration, that it is not possible for us to say that all of these individuals came together upon a lie. And so when a narration is of that nature, it is referred to as mutawatir. And the story of the Isra and the Mi'raj is without doubt, ikhwan, mutawatir. It is without doubt, mutawatir. Far too numerous, ikhwan, in terms of those who have narrated it, for us to say or claim that it wasn't true, it didn't occur, it is not authentic, it is not established. Rather, it is established by way of riwayat mutawatira. An issue concerning the Isra and the Mi'raj, and there are numerous issues in relation to it, and we'll try and mention some of the issues in relation to it, as we'll mention as much detail as possible concerning the Isra and the Mi'raj. One of the issues, ikhwan, that is raised concerning the Isra and the Mi'raj is, did the Prophet ﷺ, when he made the Isra, did he make the Isra and the Mi'raj with his ruh or with the ruh and the jasad? That is, was it just his soul that traveled, or was it his soul and his body? There are some who argue that it was only his soul, yani that it was something that was just seen in a dream by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he didn't actually travel, and that his body remained in Mecca, and it was his soul that traveled through the night and into the heavens. And they say that the traveling of the body of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as far as they are concerned, is not established, and what the riwayat of the narrations would appear to indicate is that it was his soul. And then we have, of course, the group from among the scholars of the Sunnah who established the fact that it was the soul and the body of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that traveled, and that is no doubt what is most correct, that it was the soul and the body of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is categorical that to hold that it was the soul alone is a qawl that is a batil, that it is a false statement to hold that it was only the soul of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that traveled. And that is something that Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he discusses in his tafsir with relative detail. He mentions as-sawabu min al-qawl fi dhalika 'indana an yuqal inna Allaha asra bi'abdihi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa kama akhbara Allahu 'ibadahu وكما تظاهرت به الأخبار عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن الله تعالى حمله على البراق حيث أتاه به وصلى هنالك بمن صلى من الأنبياء والرسل فأراه ما أراه من الآيات ولا معنى لقول من قال أسرى بروحه دون جسده. He said that that which is correct from the statements, and that which is most correct with us, is that Allah Azza wa Jal caused His servant Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to travel from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, as He has informed His worshippers, and as have become manifest in the narrations from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal carried him upon the buraq, and we'll see and discuss what that is in the narrations, when he brought that buraq to him by way of Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, that they prayed with the Anbiya wa Rusul. The Prophet ﷺ, he led the prophets and the messengers in prayer, and Allah Azza wa Jal showed him what he willed to show him. He said, وَلَا مَعْنَى لِقَوْلِ مَنْ قَالَ أَسْرَى بِرُوحِهِ دُونَ جَسَدِي. He said, there is no meaning for those who say that he only traveled with his soul and not his body. He said, That is not a correct statement. There is no meaning to that position and those who hold it. Why? لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ لَوْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ذَلِكَ مَا يُوجِبُ أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ دَلِيلًا عَلَى نُبُوَتِهِ. Except because if that was the case, then there isn't any proof in that for his prophethood. And if we say that he traveled by night when he was asleep, it was just his soul, then what proof of prophethood is there in that? Yani the fact that he traveled that distance, that he's traveled in months, or a month's journey at least, يعني, in one night, and that he saw what he saw, if that was conveyed to be a dream, then what is there? What proof of prophethood is there in that? Because I could say I had a dream that I traveled around the world 3 times in a night, and then I saw every part of the dunya in that same night. And you wouldn't, yani, there would be no reason for you to argue with me. Mumkin. I saw that in a dream. I went to Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea. We traveled across the dunya and I saw many jungles and forests and other than that. And we'd sit down and it would be humorous and we would laugh about it. And it is possible you saw that in a dream. What proof of prophethood is there in that? So Imam al-Tabari, he establishes the fact that there wouldn't be any hujjah in that. He said, وَلَا حُجَّةَ لَهُ عَلَى رِسَالَتِهِ. There is no hujjah in that. وَلَا كَانَ الَّذِينَ أَنْكَرُوا حَكِيكَةَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ وَكَانُوا يَدْفَعُونَ بِهِ عَنْ صِدْقِهِ فِيهِ. Similarly, those who repelled and rejected the story from the people of shirk, yani from the mushrikun, there again, there wouldn't be any issue and no reason for them to repel and deny the story. Why would there be a problem? I traveled by night, I saw it in a dream. Why would they be up in arms? And why would they attempt to use it against and with the other companions to say, listen to what your friend is saying, listen to what your companion is saying, the one that you're following. Why would there be a hujjah in that? Because the companions would just respond, he saw it in a dream. What's the problem? And therefore, he mentions, إذ لم يكن منكرا عندهم ولا عند أحد من ذوي الفطرة الصحيحة من بني آدم أن يرى الرائي منهم في المنام ما على مسيرة سنة فكيف ما على مسيرة شهر أو أقل أو بعد. He mentions that there would be no reason for them to reject that because it wouldn't have been an evil statement as far as they would have been concerned. Why? He said, because it is not rejected with anyone that has a sound intellect and has a sound innate nature from the children of Adam, that a person may see something in a dream or see that he travels a year's journey in a dream, much less a month or that which is less than a month or slightly more than a month. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا أَخْبَرَ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْعَزِيزِ أَنَّهُ أَسْرَى بِعَبَدِهِ ولم يخبرنا أنها أسرى بروح عبدي وليس لأحد أن يتعدى ما قال الله إلى غيره. He said that is because of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us of the fact that He took His servant by night, عبديه, him. And He did not say that He took the soul of His servant by night. And that would have been easy for Allah Azza wa Jal to mention. He said, therefore, it is not permissible for anyone to say or to go past that which Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in His kitab. If Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, bi'abdihi, then it is bi'abdi. And that is not to be rejected by any individual. Therefore, it is established categorically, ikhwan, that it was the Prophet ﷺ himself, yani his body and soul, that the Isra took place and occurred with. Similarly, from the ayat that are used, the ayah in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّذِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed we did not make the sight that you saw except as a fitna for the people. The sight that you saw, we did not make it except as a fitna for the people. والشجرة الملعونة في القرآن. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that sight that we made you see, and this is one of the reasons that some hold that it was just a dream. Since Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّذِي أَرَيْنَاكَ, we did not make the رُؤْيَا. The term رُؤْيَا in the لغة is used to refer to a dream, but the رُؤْيَا linguistically is likewise used to refer to that which is observed with the ayun, with the eyes. And so, what was the position of the Salaf concerning the meaning of the ayah? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions in the tafsir of the ayah, هِيَ رُؤْيَا عَيْنٍ أُرِيَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِهِ وَشَجَرَةُ الْمَلْعُونَةِ شَجَرَةُ الزَّقُومِ. He said that it was a رُؤْيَا الْعَيْنِ. It was a ru'ya of the eye. Yani, a sight that was observed by the messenger with his eyes. And so the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَمَا رَأَيْنَا وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّذِي أَرَيْنَاكَ, we did not make the ru'ya that we made you see, the sight that you saw, It could either mean the dream that you saw or the sight that you saw. And so when one gathers all of the texts, we see categorically, if you look at the other ayat, if you look at that which is related to the ahadith in the sunnah, that the ru'ya here is a ru'ya ayniya, the ru'ya basar, a ru'ya that the Prophet ﷺ saw with his eyes. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, we didn't make you see the sights that you saw, except as a fitna for the people. That is, a trial for them, a test for them. A test for those who believe, a test for those who disbelieve. And that is because of the fact that, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, when we look at the qissa itself, when we look at the affair itself, and we gather those versions, we gather the ahadith, we gather the riwayat, there was much that the Prophet ﷺ observed. There was that which he observed, and the Isra itself going to Jerusalem. There was that which he saw and observed from Jerusalem going up into the heavens. And there was that which he observed returning, one, from the heavens, and two, from Jerusalem back to Mecca. Ayat that Allah Azza wa Jal showed his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is most correct, ayyuhal ikhwa, is that that occurred once. What is most correct is that the Isra and the Mi'raj, it occurred once. And there are many aqwal and many statements of the scholars in relation to that. And from them we'll mention the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim in Zad. He mentions, رحمه ta'ala, وَالصَّوَابَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ أَئِمَّةُ النَّقْلِ أَنَّ الْإِسْرَاءِ كَانَ مَرَّةً وَاحِدًا بِمَكَّةً بَعْدَ الْبِعْثَةِ. He said, that which is most correct, yani the sawab, and that which is correct, and that which the a'imma of naql, or the scholars of narration and yani hadith, they have mentioned concerning the Isra, is that that occurred marratan wahida. It occurred once. And so some may argue, because of the fact that they are unable to understand how to reconcile some of the narrations, and some of the narrations would appear to be mentioning certain things occurring that were not mentioned in other narrations, so they said that the Isra, then it must have occurred more than once. Because of the fact that they were unable to reconcile that which was present with some of those narrations. Some of those narrations are hadith that are da'ifa. Some of those narrations concerning what took place on the night of the Isra and the Mi'raj are hadith that are not established. But when we gather that which is authentic, there is no problem reconciling those narrations that mention the qissa. And of course, Ikhwan, a narration and a hadith that is mutawatira, it is going to find its origin in the Sahihain, in Sahih al-Bukhari, and in Sahih Muslim, and elsewhere. And so we'll begin to mention then that which is present within those riwayat. We'll mention the riwayah of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. The riwayah of Anas ibn Malik, it occurs, Ikhwan, in the Sahihain. Anas ibn Malik, he mentioned that Malik ibn Sa'sa'a, radiallahu anhu, قال أن نبي الله حدثهم عن ليلة ليلة أن ليلة أسري به. He said that Anas ibn Malik, he mentioned that Malik ibn Sa'sa'a رضي الله عنه said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us, or informed them, يعني the companions, of the night that he was taken upon the Isra. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما أنا في الحطيم وربما قال في الحجر. He said, indeed on that night, I was in the Hatim. And the Hatim, in some riwayat, it mentions Al-Hijr. And the intent behind the Hijr is that which was around, or that area around the Kaaba. Yani, the area around the Bayt of Allah, the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, that area, that round semicircle wall around the Kaaba. Some of Ahlul Ilm though mention that the intent here was the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ in his home. That the intent was the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ in his house. Hafidh ibn Hajar though, he discusses number one, the riwayat and the versions, and discussed the fact that it was the area between the black corner of the black stone and the Rukun al-Yamani, And he said, and it is possible that he intended that which is between Zamzam and the Hijr, that which is between Zamzam and the area around the Kaaba. And so some mentioned that it was a reference to him being taken from the Hijr of his house, and some mentioned that it was the Hijr in front of, or that which is intended here is in front of the Kaaba. Now, he mentioned, and so I was lying down, muttaji'an, id atani atin, when I was visited by someone. فَقَدَّ وَسَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ فَشَقَّ مَا بَيْنَ هَذِهِ إِلَى هَذِهِ. He said, so this individual came to me, and he cut me from here to here. The Prophet ﷺ pointed to his collarbone and to his ana, yani to the area of, yani the pubic area. So the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that this, of course, it was an angel from the Malaika, and what is most correct is that it was Jibreel. That he came and he cut the Messenger ﷺ from his collarbone down to his waist. Cut him open. Mentioned, فَشَقَّ مَا بَيْنَ هَذِهِ إِلَى هَذِهِ يعني مِنْ ثُؤْرَةِ نَحْرِهِ إِلَى شِعْرَتِهِ فَاسْتَخْرَجَ قَلْبِي. He said, and then he took my heart out. ثُمَّ أُوْتِيتُ بِطَسْتٍ مِنْ ذَهَبْ مَمْلُوءَةٍ إِيمَانٍ مَمْلُوءَةٍ إِيمَانًا فَغَسَلَ قَلْبِي ثُمَّ هُشِيَ ثُمَّ أُعِيدْ. He said that he took my heart out, and he brought a vessel filled with Iman, and he washed my heart in that vessel. Then it was replaced, and his heart was replaced inside of his chest. He said, and then he corrected and returned everything back to its place. Yani, that the Prophet ﷺ, he sealed, or he had the opening sealed up, and his heart returned back to its place. He said, ثُمَّ أُوْتِيتُ بِدَابَّةٍ دُونَ الْبَغْلِ وَفَوْقَ الْحِمَارِ أَبْيَضٍ. He said, then an animal was brought to me, a bagla, or that which resembled a mule, but it was between a mule and a horse. And it wasn't quite a horse, but it was bigger than a mule. He said, and it was white. فَقَالَ لَهُ الْجَارُودُ هُوَ الْبُرَّاكِ يَا أَبَا حَمْزَةَ. Was it the Burraq, Ya Aba Hamza? So Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he said, na'am. That is, that mule or that animal was referred to as the Burraq. And it was white. Without doubt, ikhwan, was an animal that Allah Azza wa Jal sent to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the purpose of this journey. And so he mentioned, يَدَأَ خَطْوَهُ عِنْدَ أَقْصَى طَرَفِهِ. He said it was an animal that when he would place his foot would land as far as the eye could see. So every stride that this animal took, it took him from where he was to the furthest horizon. And then he would take another stride, it took him from where he was to the furthest horizon. He mentions, وَكَانَ مُسْرَجًا مُلَجَّمًا, that the animal was مُسْرَجًا, yani that there was siraj, and there were lanterns or lights upon him. And مُلَجَّمًا, that he had reins upon him, similarly. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَرْكَبَهُ إِسْتَصْعَبَ عَلَيْهِ. That when the Prophet ﷺ went to embark upon the animal, it was difficult for him. Yani embarking upon the animal was difficult for the animal, not for the Prophet ﷺ, for the animal. And so, فَقَالَ لَهُ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ السَّلَامُ أَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ تَفْعَلُ هَذَا. And so Jibreel عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ السَّلَامُ, he said, is it with Muhammad? Is it due to Muhammad why you do so? Yani why you find it difficult? فما ركبك أحد أكرم على الله من. For indeed no one more noble to Allah Azza wa Jal has embarked upon you. And Ahlul Ilm mentioned that that is an indication of the fact that the Burraq was the animal that was used for other and with other prophets and messengers. That it was not just the Prophet ﷺ who embarked upon the Burraq, but that wording indicates clearly that other prophets and messengers likewise rode the Burraq. For whatever reason, Allahu Ta'ala a'lam. But as far as whether or not the Prophet ﷺ was the first one that embarked upon it, then these ahadith indicate, and there is another indication further in the hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ was not the first to embark upon the Burraq. Qala, farfadda araqan. And so the animal began to drip with sweat. The animal, he began to sweat due to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was about to embark upon him. فَرَكِبْتُهُ أَيِّ الْبُرَّاقِ حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ. And so, as some of the riwayat mentioned, that sweating of the animal, it ceased, and he was able to carry the messenger. Yani it settled, and he was able to carry the messenger. He said, فَرَكِبْتُهُ إِلَى, yani the burraq, حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ. And so I rode upon it until I came to the Bayt al-Maqdis. فَرَبَطْتُهُ بِالْحَلْقَةِ الَّتِي يَرْبَطُ بِهَا الْأَنْبِيَا. He said, and so I tied it upon the halqa. The halqa was the ring that was outside the Bayt al-Maqdis. He said, I tied it with the ring that the Anbiya, that the prophets tied it with. Yani the same ring that was used by the prophets to tie, I too tied it with the same ring. Again indicating that other prophets and messengers rode the Burraq, and in fact that they tied the Burraq outside and at the Baytul Maqdis. ثم دخلت المسجد فصليت فيه ركعتين ثم خرجت. He said, and so I went to the masjid, I prayed rak'atayn, and then I exited the masjid. And so the Prophet ﷺ, in this version of the hadith, we have a mention and a brief summarized version of the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. But there are a number of riwayat that discuss the Isra itself. And we'll mention some of the narrations that inform of what took place upon the Isra. Because upon the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, there were a number of things that took place and that the Prophet ﷺ saw and witnessed and observed. From those things, ayyuhal ikhwa, is that which was collected by Imam Malik in his Muwatta and declared Hassan by Sheikh al-Albani and others upon the authority of Yahya ibn Sa'id and others, yani Abdul Rahman, yani from among the companions, Abdul Rahman ibn Khantham, who was one that there was some difference among the scholars of hadith concerning whether or not he was a companion, but Hafiz ibn Hajar concludes and Sheikh al-Albani agrees with the position that lahu suhba, that he was a companion of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions فَقَالَ أُسْرِيَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَرَأَى عفريطا من الجن يطلبه بشعلة من نار. He said that the Prophet ﷺ, when they were upon the night journey, and again this is not the ascension, just the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, he mentions, so he saw an ifrit from the jinn, يطلبه بشعلة من النار, that it was being followed and pursued by a streak of fire, yani a reference to a shooting star. He said, كُلَّمَا التَّفَتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَآهُ. Every time the messenger turned his head, he could see it being pursued, yani this ifrit. And of course the ifrit, ikhwan, is a reference to a larger jinn, a more powerful jinn than the normal jinn. They're referred to as the ifrit, yani a larger jinn. He said, every time the Prophet ﷺ, every time he turned his head, he could see this jinn being pursued by the shooting star. So, فَقَالَ لَهُ جِبْرِيلٌ. And so Jibreel said to him, أَفَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ تَقُولُهُنَّ إِذَا قُلْتُ أَوْ قُلْتَهُنَّ طُفِئَتْ شَعْلَتُهُ وَخَرَّ لِفِيهِ. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَلَى. He said, shall I not teach you some words? That is, Jibreel said to him, shall I not teach you some words which if you say them, if you utter those words, then it will cause this jinn which is pursued, it will cause him to fall upon his face. It will cause him to fall upon his face. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Bala, of course, ya Jibreel. And so Jibreel, he said, قُلْ فَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ الْكَرِيمِ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ الَّتِي لَا يُجَاوِزُهُنَّ بَرٌ وَلَا فَاجِرٌ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَشَرِّ مَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَشَرِّ مَا ذَرَأَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَشَرِّ مَا يَخْرُجُ فِيهَا وَمِنْ فِتَنِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَمِنْ طَوَارِقِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ إلا طارقا يترك بخير يا رحمن. So he taught him that dua, by way of which if a person were to recite it, then it would cause that ifrit even to fall upon his face. He said, وَرَآ, another narration that was collected by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, with an authentic chain of narration, the narration of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who mentioned, أسري بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى بيت المقدس. Bearing in mind, Ikhwan, that all of these narrations that discuss the Isra, it discusses an affair that occurred once. And thus all of these narrations, Ahlul Hadith gather them as the occurrences that took place on that night. Ibn Abbas, therefore, he narrates that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was taken to the Bayt al-Maqdis, ثم جاء من ليلته, and then he returned from that night, فحدثهم بمسيره. He narrated to them that which took place. And from the things that he narrated, فرأى ورأى الدجال. He said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on that journey was shown the Dajjal. He said, ورأى الدجال في صورته. He saw the Dajjal in his true form. رؤيا عين. He actually saw him with his eyes. فسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الدجال فقال رأيته فيلمانيا أقمر هجانا إحدى عينيه قائمة كأنها كوكب ذري وكأن شعره شعر رأسه أغصان شجرة. He said that indeed he was shown the Dajjal and he saw him with his eyes. And so the Prophet ﷺ was asked concerning the Dajjal, and he said that he had a large body and that he was fair skinned, that he was white skinned. One of his eyes was sound while the other it was sound while the other was affected, and of course occurs in some narrations that it was like a crushed grape. He said, وَكَأَنَّ شَأْرَ رَأْسِهِ أَغْصَانُ شَجَرَةٌ. He said, and it was though the hair of his head were like the branches of a tree. It was as though the hair of his head were like the branches of a tree, and it is possible that the type of tree that was being referred to is the date palm tree, which would then indicate that his hair was curly, and some of the narrations mention that his hair was curly or tight curly hair. And so the Prophet ﷺ describing him as having hair like a date palm tree, or like a tree, or like the branches of a tree, it is possible that which is being referred to, or the tree that is being referred to in specific, is the likes of a date palm tree. Similarly, Ikhwan, from the affairs that the Prophet ﷺ saw on that night, and that he was shown on that night is, as occurs, ikhwan, in a narration that was collected by Imam al-Tabri and likewise Imam al-Bayhaqi in Dala'il al-Nubuwa. The Prophet ﷺ, he was shown a number of individuals. And these are the individuals that they had, or they were eating that which he referred to as al-dari' wa zakkum, that they were eating dari' and zakkum. This dari' and zakkum is a reference, ikhwan, to one of the fruit from the trees of Jahannam. And there is that which clarifies that zakkum were fruits that are resemblant to the heads of devils. Zakkum, fruits that are resemblant to the heads of devils. And they were likewise eating from the radaf of Jahannam. The radaf of Jahannam is a reference to the intensely hot stones and rocks that are present in Jahannam. Yani that which is like unto brimstone, the intensely heated stones of Jahannam. He said, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ هَذِهَا أُولَٰئِ يَا جِبْرِيلِ. He said, who are these individuals, O Jibreel? And Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤَدُّونَ صَدَقَاتُ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. He said, these are the ones who do not give the sadaqat of their wealth. That is, do not give the zakah. The term sadaqat here, a reference to zakah. These are the ones that do not pay the zakah upon their wealth. These are the ones who do not pay the zakah upon their wealth. Similarly, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was shown from that which he was shown, is that he was shown something from wood. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had brought to him khashaba. He had some wood brought to him. He said, وَلَا يَمُرُّ بِهَا شَيْءٌ إِلَّا قَطَعَهُ أَوْ قَطَعَتْهُ. That these pieces of wood, nothing passed by it except that it would cut whatever passed by it. And so he said, مَا هَذَا يَا جِبْرِيلِ. He said, what is this, O Jibreel? He said, هَذَا مِثْلُ أَقْوَامٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِكِ يَقْعُدُونَ عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ فَيَقْتَعُونَهَا وَتَلَى قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا بِكُلِّ صِرَاطٍ تُوعِدُونَ. He said, when he asked, what is this, O Jibreel? He said, this is like individuals from among your qawm, from among your ummah, who will sit upon pathways and will yaqta'unaha. That is, that they will yani stop the pathways. That is, they will carry out brigandry, highway robbery. They will stop on the pathways and they will steal from those who pass those pathways, ikhwan, from among those who are wayfarers and upon their journey. And the Prophet ﷺ recited the statements of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and do not sit upon every sirat and every pathway. Yani here an ayah that occurs, ayyuhal ikhwa, within the hadith, and was mentioned within the hadith as the recitation of Jibra'il, an ayah that occurs in Surah Al-A'raf. Na'am. Similarly, ikhwan, from the affairs that the Prophet ﷺ was shown, was that the Prophet ﷺ, he was shown a man carrying a hizma. And a hizma was that which was carried from firewood. It was, if you like, a bundle of firewood that is carried, and then it is ordinarily wrapped, yani, and tied with something to keep the firewood together as one bundle, or as one yani collection of firewood. So the Prophet ﷺ, he saw a man with a hizma of hatab azima, with a huge bundle of firewood. He said, لا يستطيع حملها. And he was not able to carry this huge bundle of firewood. He said, وهو يريد أن يزيد عليها. But he intended to increase upon that which he already had. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذا يا جبريل. He said, what is this, O Jibreel? فقال هذا رجل من أمتك تكون عنده أمانات الناس لا يقدر على أدائها وهو يريد أن يحمل عليها. He said that indeed this is an example of individuals from your ummah that have upon them amanat, have upon them trusts that they are not able to carry, and they wish to increase upon the load that they already have. Similarly, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the things that he was shown, and indeed, ikhwan, he saw a number of signs and a number of scenarios from them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in a narration in the Dala'il al-Nubuwa of Imam al-Bayhaqi, one of the versions of the same hadith of Anas ibn Malik, he mentioned, فَسَارَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِذَا هُوَ بِعَجُوزٍ عَلَى جَانِبِ الطَّرِيقِ. He said that the Prophet ﷺ, he journeyed, and then he came across an elderly woman upon the side of the pathway while they were upon the Isra. He came across an elderly woman. فقال فإذا أنا بامرأة حاسرة عن ذراعيها وعليها من كل زينة خلقها الله. He said that I saw a woman that had her forearms uncovered, and based upon the other version and the other riwayah, it was an elderly woman who had her forearms uncovered. And upon her was every type of adornment that Allah Azza wa Jal has created. Every adornment she had upon her zira'i, yani upon her arms. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw that, he said, Ya Muhammad, anzirni, as'aluk. He said that she said to me, Ya Muhammad, wait, let me ask you something. He said, فَلَمْ أَلْتَفِتْ إِلَيْهَا. And so I did not look at her. نِعْمُكَ اللَّهِ. وَلَمْ أَقُمْ عَلَيْهَا. Neither did I stand to her. And neither did I go towards her. فَقَالَ مَا هَذِهِ يَا جِبْرِيلِ. He said, so I said, what is this, O Jibreel? قال سر يا محمد. And so Jibreel, he said, continue, O Muhammad. That is, continue upon your journey. فَسَارَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَسِيرَ. And so he continued for the distance that Allah Azza wa Jal will for him to continue. فَإِذَا شَيْءٌ يَدْعُوهُ مُتَنَحِيًا عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. He said that he saw something calling him at the side of the pathway, which was away slightly from the pathway. يقول هلم يا محمد هلم يا محمد. He said, come over here, O Muhammad, come here. فقال له جبريل سر يا محمد. So Jibreel, he said, continue, carry on, O Muhammad. He said, وأما نعم. He said, فسار ما شاء الله أن يسير. And so he continued for the distance that Allah Azza wa Jal willed for him to continue. حتى انتهى إلى بيت المقدس. Until he came to the بيت المقدس. ثم قال له جبريل أما العجوز التي رأيت على جانب الطريق فلم يبق من الدنيا إلا ما بقي من عمر تلك العجوز. He said, so when he got to the بيت المقدس, جبرائيل عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said to him, as far as the عجوز, as far as the elderly woman that you saw, He said that indeed there does not remain from the dunya other than that which remains from the life of this elderly woman. There does not remain from the life of the dunya other than that which remains from the life of this elderly woman. He mentions, وَأَمَّا الَّذِي أَرَادَ أَن تَمِيلَ إِلَيْهِ. He said, as far as the one that wanted you to come towards him, فَذَلِكَ عَدُوُّ اللَّهِ Iblis. أَرَادَ أَن تَمِيلَ إِلَيْهِ. He said, as far as the one that wanted you to come over towards him, the one that was calling you, he said, then that was the enemy of Allah, Iblis. Shaytan. He wanted you to veer and lean towards him. And so the Messenger of Allah, without doubt, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that, لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى, he saw from the great signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Of course, ikhwan, those great signs increased when he ascended into the heavens. Likewise, from the things, ayyuhal ikhwa, that he was shown, is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as occurs in a narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he was shown, he mentioned, ثم أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على قوم تقرض ألسنتهم وشفاههم بمقاريض من نار. He said, and then he came across a people who were cutting their tongues and their lips with scissors of fire. كلما قرضت عادت كما كانت. Every time they would cut them, they would return to how they were. Every time that they were cut, they would return, yani, to their original state. He said, لا يفطر عنهم من ذلك شيء. And they would not become fatigued and exhausted with doing so. And they would cut their lips, and then their lips would return, and their tongues, and then they would return to doing so. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا جبريل من هؤلاء. And so the Messenger of Allah said, O Jibreel, who are these? He said, هؤلاء خطباء من أمتك. He said, these are the خطباء. These are the, يعني, those who give خطيب, the خطيبs, or the ones who give sermon from your ummah. يأمرون الناس بالبر وينسون أنفسهم وهم يتلون الكتاب أفلا يعقلون. He said, these are the ones that give sermon from your ummah. They command the people with good, and they forget themselves while they recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أفلا يعقلون. Then will they have no عقل? Then will they have no sense? And we'll round up, ikhwan, on that note. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhir da'awana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.